name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. As I was going through doing research today for the sermon, I actually ran across a passage that I want to read to you. This is from a set of books titled Feasting on the Word, and it comes from the theological perspective from our second reading, which is the Revelation to John. And it's written by a man named Eric M. Heen, but he has something very important to say. He says, and this is the very start of it, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but in the book of Revelation, there are clear tensions between the community that worships the Lamb and the world that has been pulled into the cult of the emperor. For instance, the claim in verse 10 that salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb defies the official propaganda of the Roman Empire. This propaganda claimed that salvation, understood as a rescue from danger and the enjoyment of peace and well-being by the inhabitants of the empire, had its source in Rome. Revelation sees through such pretensions of benevolence to the brutal rule of the violence that lies within. The great multitude that cries out the hymn of praise to God and the Lamb then represents, among other things, the dominion of God that stands firmly against the imperial project that is Rome. That's very interesting words, especially when you consider the things that happen today and how we're driven by social justice and that type of thing. We're asked to submit to the rule of the world, but it's a difficult thing to do, especially if you have an understanding of who Christ is. I'll give you a perfect example. One of the most fundamental images that come to people's minds when they think of Christ is that of a shepherd, flowing white robes, coming up over a hill, smiling with a lamb around his shoulders. Right? That's a common image. We, as a modern people, don't understand why that lamb is on his shoulders. If we knew it, I think it would break us a little. So I'm going to tell you. In ancient times, and probably even today, when lambs would wander away from the flock and not listen to their master's voice, and they had to go hunt them down, what they would do is they would hobble the lamb. They would break one of its legs. They do that because then the lamb cannot get around on its own. The shepherd then puts the lamb on his shoulders and carries the lamb so that the lamb learns to trust him, so that the lamb knows the voice of its protector, so the lamb knows the voice of the keeper. Now, it sounds very cruel to actually break the leg of that lamb, but that is what saves it. That is what keeps it safe. It learns its master's voice. Stop and think about that for a minute. I would venture to say some, if not all of us, are in this church because we have had something happen in our lives, something that was profound and something that in some way broke us, something that the world could not give us. And we've turned to something outside of ourselves, something greater than ourselves. That's what Christ is talking about in the passage from the gospel. He has spoken to people. He has taught, even in their synagogues. He has worked miracles. He has done all these things, and still the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him and say, "Look, if you're the Messiah, man, just tell us. Quit screwing around." Really? That's the response? I think a school teacher at that point would have to look at their pupil and say, "You're not paying attention." With this understanding of Christ as a shepherd, of Christ as our guide, as Christ as our master. You know, Jen said it best this morning. Oh, we've got Psalm 23, which is a beautiful psalm. But the first thing that runs through everyone's mind is, that's a funeral psalm. It's not. It's a psalm of victory. It is a psalm identifying what our Lord and Savior gives us, that governments and kings and rulers and people in power cannot. The things that it offers are true things. They're not lies. They're not fallacies. It's not a Facebook post that says, if you just take this supplement, you'll lose 50 pounds. It's a truth. It's a truth that we need to see for what it is. Are we called to fight social injustice? Yes. Are we called to try to make the world a better place? Yes. It's the kingdom of God that is here but not yet. Are we going to do that by enacting a bunch of laws? No. That only changes people that follow the law. That's not our job. We follow a shepherd that has changed our hearts. And it is because our hearts are changed that we go out into the world to change others' hearts. We can do nothing on our own to make the world a better place. We do that only by willing to be the lamb carried around the neck of our shepherd. Don't be afraid of being broken. Don't be afraid of being hurt. Don't be afraid of being afraid. Those are human things. Those are human responses to those things that go on in our lives. Those are not the things that we serve. We don't serve Rome. We serve a loving, compassionate God that, as the lessons tell us, will wipe away every tear and heal every hurt. And that's the only way that it'll be healed. Christ never promised that we would not experience pain walking a Christian walk. What he promised was that he would always be there and that we would have life everlasting. Follow the Good Shepherd. Amen.